The unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles, and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former system of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. He has refused his assent to laws, the most wholesome and necessary for the public good. He has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance, unless suspended in their operation till his assent should be obtained. And when so suspended, he has utterly neglected to attend to them. He has refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people, unless those people would relinquish the right of representation in the legislature, a right inestimable to them and formidable to tyrants only. He has called together legislative bodies at places unusual, uncomfortable, and distant from the depository of their public records, for the sole purpose of fatiguing them into compliance with his measures. He has dissolved representative houses repeatedly for opposing with manly firmness his invasions on the rights of the people. He has refused for a long time, after such dissolutions, to cause others to be elected, whereby the legislative powers, incapable of annihilation, have returned to the people at large for their exercise. The state remaining in the meantime exposed to all dangers of invasion from without and convulsions within. He has endeavored to prevent the population of these states for that purpose, obstructing the laws for naturalization of foreigners, refusing to pass others to encourage their migrations hither, and raising the conditions of new appropriations of lands. He has obstructed the administration of justice by refusing his assent to laws for establishing judiciary powers. He has made judges dependent on his will alone, for the tenure of their office, and for the amount and payment of their salaries. He has erected a multitude of new offices, and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. He has kept among us, in times of peace, standing armies without the consent of our legislatures. He has affected to render the military independent of and superior to the civil power. He has combined with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws, giving his assent to their acts of pretended legislation. For quartering large bodies of armed troops among us, for protecting them by a mock trial from punishment for any murders which they should commit on the inhabitants of these states, for cutting off our trade with all parts of the world, for imposing taxes on us without our consent, for depriving us in many cases of the benefits of trial by jury, for transporting us beyond the seas to be tried for pretended offenses, for abolishing the free system of English laws in a neighboring province, establishing therein an arbitrary government, and enlarging its boundaries so as to render it at once an example and fit instrument for introducing the same absolute rule into these colonies, for taking away our charters, abolishing our most valuable laws, and altering fundamentally the forms of our government, for suspending our own legislatures and declaring themselves invested with power to legislate for us in all cases whatsoever. He has abdicated government here by declaring us out of his protection and waging war against us. He has plundered our seas, ravaged our coasts, burnt our towns, and destroyed the lives of our people. He is at this time transporting large armies of foreign mercenaries to complete the works of death, desolation, and tyranny, already begun with circumstances of cruelty and perfidy scarcely paralleled in the most barbarous ages, and totally unworthy the head of a civilized nation. He has constrained our fellow citizens, taken captive on the high seas to bear arms against their country, to become the executioners of their friends and brethren, or to fall themselves by their hands. He has excited domestic insurrections amongst us, and has endeavored to bring on the inhabitants of our frontiers the merciless Indian savages whose known rule of warfare is an undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions. In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. Nor have we been wanting in attentions of our British brethren. We have warned them from time to time of attempts by their legislature to extend an unwarrantable jurisdiction over us. We have reminded them of the circumstances of our immigration and settlement here. We have appealed to their native justice and magnanimity, and we have conjured them by the ties of our common kindred to disavow these usurpations, which would inevitably interrupt our connections and correspondence. They too have been deaf to the voice of justice and consanguinity. We must therefore acquiesce in the necessity which denounces our separation and hold them, as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war, in peace friends. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, in General Congress, assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and to do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration, with the firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Radio Free Virginia. This is a special Independence Day episode. And specifically today, I'm going to celebrate what this day is. This is Independence Day. It isn't July 4th. It's Independence Day. It is independence from a tyrant king and a tyrant government across an ocean that was wreaking havoc upon the people. And for actually more than 2 years previously, they had been at war with this government. Oh, sure, it was smaller, but they were still at war. All great men are warriors. Not necessarily those that would pick up a gun, but those willing to fight. Those willing to stand up and say, I am willing to stand in the gap. I'm willing to pledge my life, my fortune, and my sacred honor. I hope you have a tradition or traditions in your family. One of my traditions is every 4th of July, every Independence Day, I sit with my family and I read this Declaration of Independence to them. I want them to understand. I want my boys to understand as they grow up and they see statues being torn down of great men, of warriors. Why we fight, what we're fighting for, and what these men and women in the colonial era were fighting for. I want them to see that. So I read them the Declaration of Independence. We go out usually to the range if we can, and we will this year. And we experience freedom. And we live free. If we go to the store, guess what? Won't be wearing a mask. Freedom. And finally, at the end of the day, one of my favorite things to do is watch the movie The Patriot, starring Mel Gibson. And it's loosely a character based on Francis Marion, the Swamp Fox. And were it not for that man, there might not be an America, not as we know it. It would still be part of the British Empire in some capacity. Were it not for Francis Marion holding off the British in the South, they would have had Washington and the rest of the Continental Army surrounded. And that would have been that. This would be a very different place. The world would be a very different world. But through divine providence, the prayers of the people who signed this document and many others were answered. And America has done amazing great things throughout its history. Amazing great things to benefit mankind. And there's a lot that people are saying about America being a horrible place because of this, because of that, and because of the other. And I disagree. I think America is a great country. I think Virginia is a great state. And if we could get the communists out of both, it would be even better. James Madison wrote, "We have staked the whole future of American civilization, not upon the power of government, far from it. We have staked the future upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves, to sustain ourselves, according to the Ten Commandments of God." Similarly, John Adams, speaking to the Massachusetts militia on October 11th, 1798, said these words, "While our country remains untainted with the principles and manners which are now producing desolation in so many parts of the world, while she continues sincere and incapable of insidious and impious policy, we shall have the strongest reasons to rejoice in the local destination assigned us by Providence. But should the people of America once become capable of that deep simulation towards one another and towards foreign nations, which assumes the language of justice and moderation while it is practicing inequity and extravagance, and displays in the most captivating manner the charming pictures of candor and frankness and sincerity, while it is rioting in rapine and insolence, this country will be the most miserable habitation in the world, because we have no government armed with power, capable of contending with human passions, unbridled by morality and religion. Avarice, ambition, and revenge or gallantry would break the strongest cords of our Constitution as a whale goes through a net. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." I'd like to thank the sponsor for today's episode, which is brought to you by ActiCare of the Blue Ridge. In-home care for your loved ones, even when you can't be there. ActiCare of the Blue Ridge provides caregivers for your senior, whether you're in the city of Lynchburg, Roanoke, Salem, or out in the county near Smith Mountain Lake. Support this Patriot-owned business. I've known the owners for many years, and they're great people, and they only hire great people. Visit them online at ActiCare, that's ACTIKARE.com/blue-ridge, or call them today for a free consultation, 540-443-6223. Now I want to play for you some audio that describes what happened to some of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence.
56 men signed the Declaration of Independence. 56 men signed a document guaranteeing our right to pursue our happiness. What sort of men were these? 24 were judges and lawyers. 9 were farmers and plantation owners. 11 were merchants. The remaining 12 were doctors, ministers, and politicians. Well-educated men of means, knowing full well that signing such a document would mean certain death if captured.
Fire! Crime and law!
These 56 men sacrificed everything to ensure our freedom. 5 were tortured and subsequently died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 9 died fighting the Revolutionary War. Signer and New York delegate Francis Lewis was born in Wales, the only child of a clergyman and orphaned at an early age. His signature proved costly indeed. Francis Lewis saw his home plundered and properties destroyed. The enemy incarcerated his wife, and she died months later. Signer Carter Braxton, born in Virginia, invested much of his wealth as a successful planter and trader into the revolutionary cause. The British destroyed his private fleet as well as a number of his plantations. After selling his home and remaining possessions to pay his debts, Carter Braxton died in rags. The signers of the Declaration of Independence were men of courage. Men such as signer Thomas McKean, born in Pennsylvania in 1734. Continually hounded by enemy pursuers, Thomas was forced to move his family on a constant basis. He served in Congress without pay. His reward? A family kept in hiding. His possessions taken away. A life in abject poverty. Signer John Hart was a highly successful New Jersey farmer. He served as a justice of the peace and a member of the New Jersey Assembly. Later, John Hart became a delegate to the Continental Congress. After being driven from his dying wife's bedside, his 13 children having fled for their lives, John Hart lived in the woods and forest caves for over a year. He returned home only to find his wife dead and his children vanished. Weeks later, John Hart died from exhaustion and a broken spirit. Signers Philip Livingston and Lewis Morris experienced similar fates. And then there's the remarkable story of signer Thomas Nelson, Jr. Thomas Nelson, Jr. lived his life before the war as a Virginia planter, soldier, and statesman. His home was abruptly taken by British General Cornwallis for use as headquarters during the Battle of Yorktown. Governor Nelson became incensed as American guns would not engage. "Why do you spare my home?" he decried. Their response, "Sir, out of respect for you." Frustrated, Nelson demanded, "Give me the cannon," then proceeded to destroy the palatial residence himself. Yet this was not the end of his heroic sacrifice. Nelson raised $2 million, pledging his own estates to support the revolutionary cause. His property was forfeited when a peacetime Congress refused to honor that debt. Thomas Nelson, Jr. died a few years later, bankrupt at age 50. Thomas Nelson, Jr. wasn't alone, as soldiers and vandals ransacked and pilfered the homes of signers Clymer, Ellery, Gwinnett, Hall, Hayward, Middleton, Rutledge, and Walton. So let us honor the unparalleled sacrifices of these 56 men and thank them.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine giving up that much Can you imagine that you're in a battle, you're the commander of your local militia, and your house has been taken over by the British, and the only way to deal with them is to destroy it. So, Patriots, I just want to encourage you this Independence Day. Enjoy the time with your family and enjoy celebrating what this great nation is all about and what this great state contributed to its formation. America is a great country. Americans are great people. This is Radio Free Virginia. I'm Hank Reardon. God bless you.